The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone. Did anyone miss me while I was gone? I don't know. Maybe you didn't even know I was gone. Well, thank you. Well, I've been in Europe for about a month. I had like a two-week pilgrimage, leading about 34 pilgrims in total. Father Charlie Greib was with me in Poland. We were there for about 2 weeks. Then I spent 3 nights in Romania, and then 2 nights in France, and then a week and a half in Scotland, right? It's a hard life being a priest. But I'll tell you what, it's really nice to go and see these places, but I was really happy to be back in America, I'll tell you that, for numbers of different reasons. And I'm gonna try to tie in my experience of being out of country and seeing all these different countries with the gospel reading. The last couple of weeks, the Sunday gospel was about prophets. And in last Sunday, Jesus tells his disciples to go out and don't take any money bags with you. You know, take just one walking stick and don't take two tunics. And so he sent them out to be prophets, to proclaim the kingdom of God. And so this Sunday, they are returning and they're reporting to Jesus all that they had done and taught. And after they made their report, Jesus decides to take them on a retreat, to take them out to a deserted place to rest for a while. And while he was there, people came anyways, in great numbers. So they decided to sneak off in a boat and go somewhere else. And when they disembarked, already the people had gathered, and so they couldn't escape the work of all that was coming around them. And so as I was thinking about this, I was thinking of my experience of, you know, going to Poland. They say Catholic Poland, and the churches there were packed. Everywhere that we went, we saw churches that were so full of people on Sunday that they splashed out into the streets, and they actually had speakers outside so that people outside the churches could hear what was happening on the inside of the church. You know, similar to what we have here on the side, but it's too hot to be out there right now, right? So it was really uplifting to see that there are countries where the people are going to church in great numbers. And it's not like they only have one mass that Sunday. They had mass after mass after mass, and the numbers were there. People were coming. And so in Poland, we got to see some of the origin of Christianity in Poland. We saw the largest castle in the world built by Teutonic Knights. These were religious orders of monk soldiers. You know, they would get up 3 times a night to pray, but in the daytime they would put on armor and swords and practice. And so they were charged with bringing Christianity into this pagan world. So we saw the origins of Christianity in Poland. And one of the museums that really stands out was the Solidarity Museum in northern Poland, where they began to fight against communism. After the Second World War, the communists had taken over the people, and they wanted to do away with the church. And the great superhero of these Polish people was St. John Paul II. And when he became pope, and they didn't want him to come back to Poland, so they said, "We didn't want any religious leaders to come into Poland and mess up our thing." And he said, "I'm not just a religious leader, I'm a citizen of Poland. You're going to deny a citizen his entry into Poland. So finally, they decided to let John Paul II come back into Poland as Pope, and people came in the millions. And he spoke to their hearts. He spoke to them about God. He spoke to them about being blessed. And he said that if they didn't make the change themselves, that they would take God away from them. And so the people, millions of people gathered around, began to chant, "We want God. We want God." And it's really moving as a priest to see that kind of movement happening in the world. And it wasn't quite so long ago. But there's been a lot of struggles. We saw Maximilian Kolbe and how, because of his faith, he was placed in a concentration camp by the Germans and put to death eventually. I met sisters in Poland who said it's not always roses. You know, sometimes when they're out in public wearing their religious habits, the young people sometimes will spit on them. And this is even in Catholic Poland. So there's a lot of hardships and struggles. And when I went to Romania, now Romania is predominantly Orthodox. Roman Catholics are a very small percentage, like, I don't know, 5% of the population is Roman Catholic in Romania, and like 78% is Orthodox. And yet in the little cathedral that I stayed at, they had 8 masses on Sunday. And were full for the most part. But they too experienced a lot of suffering. In France, I got to visit I got to visit Mount Saint Michel, Mount Saint Michael, a beautiful monastery built on a rocky island. When the tide comes in, it's an island. When the tide goes out, you can walk there by foot. A beautiful place. But a lot of the people in France have left their faith, and so the church is more like a museum people come to see. And in Scotland, the church that I was at, they only have 1 Mass on Sunday, and only a handful of people were there. And I worry about the future of the church in certain places. I met a man on the ferry boat who said that he believed that all war and all suffering in the world came from religions. And he thought that all religions were bad. And I felt really, really sorry for him. And I hear reports, like in Ireland, which used to be such a Catholic country, has, you know, fallen away from their Catholic roots. A retired judge in Ireland made a statement, and it was reported on the internet, that she said that if somebody baptizes a baby, it should be illegal. Because she said, you're putting an obligation to go to Mass every Sunday, you're putting an obligation to follow a religion, and the child doesn't even have a choice. And so all around the world, there is opposition to people of faith. I think about that, I think that's a really stupid argument. You know, Do we allow people to say it's illegal to, you know, make somebody a fan? Like, if you're a Cardinals fan and you buy Cardinals t-shirts for your children, you know, is that illegal? Because you're putting an obligation for them to become a Cardinals fan for life? And so we should let them choose which football team they're going to want to root for? No, it's part of our family. Or about going to school, do we give children the choice of going to school? No, it's an obligation to give children something that they need, their education, to live in the world. And I think that faith is an important element, even more so, to live in our world. We don't criticize for becoming a citizen by birth. Maybe they don't want to be a citizen of the country they're living in, they want to be a citizen somewhere else. But that's the church that they were born in. St. Paul, he was a citizen of Rome, and he said, I consider my citizenship of Rome as nothing, as garbage, compared to being a citizen of heaven. And so when we baptize, we are bringing people into the church. They become citizens of heaven, which is ultimately the greatest good that we can do for our children. And so I'm left with looking at our gospel reading and seeing how Jesus called people to go out and proclaim the gospel and the good news and bring the church all over the world is because God loves us. Religion shouldn't be viewed as a negative thing to take away our happiness, but it adds to our happiness. It adds to fulfillment and purpose and meaning in life. And so as Jesus sends these people out into the world to proclaim the gospel, every one of us here has faith and is in this church because somebody brought you to the Lord. Somebody suffered for your faith so that you could know and love the Lord. And so the first thing I think of is gratitude, that we should have gratitude for those people who have made it possible for me to be a Christian, for me to be a Catholic. And for many of us, it's our parents who brought us to church every Sunday, maybe kicking and screaming, who baptized us. For some of you, maybe it's a friend that you knew who invited you to come to Mass with them and then maybe invited you to join the RCIA program, but somebody brought you to the Lord. And maybe you say, well, you know, nobody did that for me. I did it on my own. Well, how'd you do that? Well, I read a book, you know, by Matthew Kelly. It really inspired me. Well, then he's the one who evangelized you, and it takes a great deal of effort to write a book like that, and that's the tool of evangelization. Or maybe it was just the Bible that you read. And there are so many in the church. We should show gratitude for the early church for preserving the scriptures. And many of the monks who wrote by hand the Bible and passed it on to us. And so every one of us owes a debt of gratitude to somebody who suffered or worked to bring you the faith. And so we see that in the gospel as Jesus sends out these shepherds, he sends out his disciples. It's not always easy. So that's the first part of the message is, don't worry, the second part's really short. The first part is that we should be grateful to somebody who brought us into the church. So how cool would it be for you to call up your mom or your dad this afternoon and say, Mom, Dad, I just want to thank you because without you, I wouldn't have the faith that I have, that you brought me to church, you had me baptized. I want to thank you for all the times that I complained and you brought me to Mass. How cool would that be if we could thank the person responsible for bringing us to the Lord and to having that faith? And so, you know, while I was in Poland, I felt that gratitude for so many saints that suffered to bring faith to the people. The second part, I think, is that we are all have an obligation to proclaim the gospel and to bring somebody else into the church. Maybe it's the way that you are called as a parent to hand on your faith, your values, by living them in the house, by the words that you speak, by the actions that you do. And maybe there's somebody else out there that we can help to bring them into the church or to help them to know the reason why we believe, the reason why we have faith and trust in God. And so we have gratitude for those who brought us to the faith, and we ask God to give us the courage that we too might be the ones bringing people into faith. Amen? Together, let us stand as we profess our faith.